3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Strikeout for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
It is time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill back with you. Thanks for being back once again. Got a good podcast for you today. We'll talk a little bit about the game last night. Mariners ran into one of the best guys going in the big leagues right now, Dallas Keuchel. So we'll touch on that in just a second. Really good stuff coming up from Aaron Goldsmith and Mike Blowers. A very entertaining conversation coming up. If you like funny baseball stories, you're going to like this conversation with Mike Blowers, because he has one of the stories I love when he tells, because it's hilarious. It comes off for the heels of that soggy, long baseball game in Chicago, and it's fantastic. So that comes up. You'll enjoy that. Bullpen Banter is back today with Rick Griffin in for Charlie Furbush. So that's going to come up in a few minutes. He's with Franklin Gutierrez. And one of my favorites, Rick Waits, is going to be back. Shannon Dreyer will talk to the Mariners pitching coach. So a podcast that is chocked full of good stuff. Now, the not-so-fun stuff to start with. Mariners, well, they go down to the Houston Astros in game one of the three-game series. Carlos Correa back. He's missed the last handful of games, but he came back in a big, big way.
Here's a swing and a fly ball deep into the gap in left center field. Going, and this one is gone. Goodbye, baseball. Up by the locomotive. Holy smokes, a two-run home run by Carlos Correa. His 16th of the year, the Astros' third home run tonight. And Houston now leads it 5-1 here in the bottom of the fifth.
The story was really Dallas Keuchel, who it just continues, especially in that ballpark. He's basically been invincible. He improves to 16-6, seven innings, six hits, one run, one walk, eight strikeouts, just a solo home run. That was it. We'll get to that in a second. But Keuchel is putting together a pretty ridiculous season, and a year where there's been a lot of good years, both in the American League and National League. But the Cy Young Award race in the American League, I think, is pretty interesting at this point. You have Sonny Gray, whose raw numbers are pretty insane, 2.13 ERA in nearly 182 innings pitched. His whip is below one, and opponents just batting 201 against him. Dallas Keuchel, a 2.24 ERA. He's nearing 200 innings, 192 innings, just giving up 10 home runs, which is especially impressive considering where he pitches. He's walked just 42. His whip is at one. Opponents just batting 213 against him. And he has 23 more Ks than Sonny Gray this year. He's sitting at .173. You have David Price in the mix as well. I think he's right there. His ERA at 2.47, but considering he's at 189 innings and he's got 188 punch outs, his whip's just above one, 1.08. Archer having a great season as well. But I think the conversation right now, it's basically those three in terms of Cy Young: Gray, Keuchel, Price. And I think this last month is going to do a lot to determine who wins the Cy Young Award. Keuchel, I think I'd call him the front runner at this point, especially because I think innings are a big factor. Right now he's got 12 on Sonny Gray. I mean, you put those numbers with 12 more innings, that's really impressive. But anything can happen this last month. I think it's up for grabs between Keuchel, Gray, and Price. And, of course, Keuchel and Price in the middle of the playoff chase as well. I don't think that hurts their cause, but it's going to be pretty interesting to watch. Keuchel has been fascinating to watch because not a guy, he's not overpowering. 173 punch outs in 192 and two-thirds innings, but teams just can't square him up. And yesterday was a perfect example. I mean, how many comebackers does that guy get? Just, he can't barrel him up. His ground ball rate is out of control. It's the number one ground ball rate in the American League, 62.6%. Everything is on the ground. Just everything is heavy. It's like he's throwing a medicine ball up at home plate. I mean, that's what it looks like. Getting in the air against him is so hard. Getting it out, I mean, solid contact. And he doesn't walk guys either. His walk rate is outstanding, 1.99 walks per nine inning coming into the game yesterday. But, man, he is having a great season, and especially in that ballpark. It's not exactly an easy place to pitch in, but he has made it – well, he's made it easy. It looks easy for him to pitch in. He's been sparkling in Houston, and he has been a huge reason why Houston is where they're at. He has been fantastic this season, and really, this is one of the games you just tip your cap because he does his thing. He gave up one run to the Mariners, and the Astros won game one of the series. Really, the only offense put together in this one, Mark Trumbo, not once, but twice.
And the pitch from Keuchel, swinging a high fly ball deep into right field. Mariznick going back to the warning track. Goodbye, baseball, upper deck, right field. Holy smokes, an opposite field, upper deck shot by Mark Trumbo. His third career home run off of Dallas Keuchel. And he went the other way, and that ties up this game.
He would club another one in the ninth inning as well, so he hits two out. 10 with the Mariners now on the season, 19 overall between the two clubs. He goes 2-for-4, drives in three, but not enough as the Astros win game one of the series 8-3. Of course, news before the ball game as well. Austin Jackson on his way to Chicago. He'll play for the Cubs the rest of the way. Jackson, of course, will be a free agent after the season. And the Mariners now, they open up a spot where we will see Brad Miller in center field a lot the rest of the way. And we'll see Marte at shortstop a lot the rest of the way. So playing time opened up for both of them this final month, which will be incredibly valuable. And they got some value in return as well. They have some international signing money to play with, which is always valuable with the new rules and the caps on signing and the penalties that you get for going over slots. So important money to work with and important playing time coming the rest of the way for those two guys. So those will be situations to watch. Mariners take on the Astros in game two of the series tonight. It's a difficult series. You know you're facing Keuchel in game one. You know you're facing Kazmir in game two. You're hoping to get either the Keuchel-Kazmir game, and the Middleby game becomes the one you have to get if you want to win the series. And that's the situation they're in now. Renes Elias will take on Scott Feldman. Feldman 5-5, a 3.75 ERA, but he has really been outstanding as of late. His August, well, four starts, a 1.33 ERA, 27 innings pitched. He's allowed just four earned runs, three home runs, just five walks and 15 strikeouts. He's really pitched well, so this will not be easy as the Mariners take on the Astros and Feldman. First pitch, 5:10 from Houston. Okay, bullpen banter time. Not Charlie Furbush, but it's Rick Griffin as he takes over bullpen banter.
Hello, everybody. This is Bullpen Banter. Rick Griffin once again filling in for Charlie Furbush, who is back in Seattle working on his injured shoulder. And I have a very, very special guest today. Proud to introduce you to Mr. Franklin Gutierrez, who has just hopped off the training table after getting acupuncture on his legs. And I'm very happy to introduce you to Franklin. And Franklin, how was your acupuncture sent today?
Well, it was good. I'm still a little sleepy right now, but I'm fine.
You're a little sleepy.
Yeah, I think I'll be ready for the game, but no, for now I'm still sleepy.
Everybody knows a little bit about your journey. You had a rough time for a couple of years, and I particularly am very happy that you're back because you've always been one of my favorite players. But while you were doing all your rehab and going and seeing all the doctors, what was the thing that motivated you the most, and what made you really know that you were going to make it back to the big leagues?
Well, you know what? This is something that I've been doing my whole life, just playing baseball. And you know, I just didn't want to get out of baseball the way that, you know, that I was going that the way that it was happening, you know. So I just decided to do my treatment and try to work hard to get back and just coming back to the team that gave me the opportunity to play with some good friends here. And you know, I was just very happy to be back, just doing my job again.
I'm, for one, glad you're back, and I know a lot of people on the team are, because we love having you here. Now, I want to talk to you about something that a lot of people don't know about you. You have a very small little dog. And would you please tell everyone the name of your dog?
It's Teeny, little Teeny.
A teeny little dog, and his name is Teeny.
Yes.
And what kind of dog is he?
He's a Maltese.
It's a Maltese.
It's a white Maltese, yeah.
Is there any reason you've never brought Teeny to the ballpark and the clubhouse to show Teeny to all of your teammates?
That is not a reason that why I didn't bring it to the ballpark, but I just, you know, my wife always tell me to take Teeny to the ballpark, but I don't know, I think she's too small, she can get lost, I guess.
I believe one time you told me that Teeny attacked you and bit you when you first got it, is that true?
Yeah, it's true. She has some attitude, I guess, for a very small little dog, you know. So, but she's, you know, she's beautiful.
How old is Teeny now?
We're having Teeny since 2009. She's probably, I don't know, 5-6 years with us.
Yeah, I think that's important that the Seattle fan base knows that you're a dog lover and you have a very small dog named Teeny. Now, there was a time a few years ago when your favorite TV show was The Kardashians. And I'm wondering, have you upgraded your list now, or is that still your favorite show?
Well, I'm not watching TV anymore. I'm not following the Kardashians anymore. Probably my wife get a little jealous, so that's why I'm not watching that.
That's a wonderful thing, and I'm glad that your wife finally convinced you to stop watching the Kardashians.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing.
No, it's a wonderful thing. They're probably sad that you're not watching anymore, but I'm sure your wife is extremely happy. If you were a superhero... of the superheroes, which one of the superheroes would you want to be?
That's a good question. I think I would say Superman.
Superman.
Yeah. It seems fun to fly and, you know, being all over the places.
And you'd have X-ray vision.
Oh, yeah. That's the good thing. You know, you can watch whatever you want.
You can look at whatever you want.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing. When you go home to the off-season, you live in Boca Raton. What are some of the things that you like to do in the off season?
Well, when I'm going home, obviously I like to relax from a long season. But one of the things that I like to do is obviously going out with my family, take a little vacation, whatever we're planning. And also I like to play golf and do some other stuff, you know, just pretty much having time with the family.
You mentioned you like to play golf. I like to play golf, and I have actually played a couple rounds of golf with Felix Hernandez, who thinks he's good, but he's not. If you played Felix Hernandez a round of golf, who would win?
Well, I think I will win, because last year I had a lot of time to play golf, and I think my swing is a little better now. I have a long time, you know, since January that I haven't played, but, you know, I think I will win.
So if I took you and Felix after the season was over in Seattle, you would beat Felix in golf?
I think so, too.
I've seen him play. And I haven't seen you play, but I've seen him play. And I think that would be a fun match. Maybe we can get that on a pay-per-view, you and Felix playing, and we can televise that on Root Sports this offseason.
That would be great if we do that.
That would be fun. Okay, well, I want to thank you today for being my guest, and thank Charlie for allowing me to do his show again for him. And thank you for coming out. I know that you just got off the treatment table, but now go have some lunch and get ready for the game.
All right. Thank you very much, man. I just had a good time right now.
All right. Thank you.
And now I'll get ready for some excellent baseball stories. Here's Aaron Goldsmith with Mike Blowers.
Doing one on Blowers and Butcher. The 2-1 pitch on the way now. Swung on a fly ball, hit to deep center field and way back.
I've got the power. Evans to the track. He's to the wall. Grand finale time. Mike Blowers. Has cleared him off with a 4-run blast. And all of a sudden, it is 9-2. A mammoth home run deep over the left center field fence as Edmonds went back as far as he could. So Mike Flowers with his 11th home run, four more RBIs, and he has six tonight.
Almost 4 hours and 20 minutes for nine innings, Mike. It tied the longest nine-inning game of the season for any team in baseball. It was truly one of the longest nine-inning games in Mariners franchise history. That one, you thought that might never end. And yet we weren't even in extras.
We weren't in extras, but the possibility of it was there.
It was looming, wasn't it?
It was right there. The good news for you and I is we were able to stay dry.
That is true.
Most of the guys on the field, that was not the case.
It was a miserable night.
It was a bad night. I played in a lot of those games, maybe not as long as that for nine innings, but, you know, you start the game and it's drizzling and then it rains and then it stops and it starts drizzling and raining again. It's just, it's a long night. And then you tack on to a four-hour plus game. I'm sure that the guys were beat last night after that one. Good news is they won.
Now, we were talking about it on the telecast about Brad Miller probably wanting to change his uniform. He dove for a couple of balls in the outfield. And so, I mean, that's the thing. Even though there's a forecast of more rain coming, if your uniform gets sopped and you have a chance when your team is hitting and maybe you're batting whatever, eighth, and it's the top of the order, you slip into the clubhouse and you ask the club, hey, I need a new uniform.
Yeah, you run into your locker and you change as quickly as you can. It was probably not funny to Brad, but I ended up getting some humor out of it last night just because it made me think of a number of games that I'd played in. But for Brad last night, he dives for the ball. We see him slide about 10 feet because the outfield grass is so wet. He gets up. The front of his uniform is drenched. I didn't realize at the time, but after they finally get the last out, and you and I were talking about him changing, he was leading off, so no time to change. Goes up there, hits a double down the left field line. Has to go back out into the field again and immediately tries to make a sliding catch. So he was soaked in the front and the back everywhere. He was just done at that point. And it made me think of just playing in the weather and games like that, and especially with Brad last night because, look, Brad's played six different positions. You know, he felt that he was going to play shortstop every day, but now he's played a number of positions. And yesterday, because of the rain, the tarp on the field, there was no time to get work in out in the outfield. And this can be a tough place to play at times, but I know for myself, being basically a third baseman, but from time to time, Lou would have me go play right field if Jay was beat up or if he needed me to play left field because of the lineup that he wanted to put together. And I would go do it, and it wasn't a situation where I played a lot of outfield. I played the infield basically my whole life. But I would gladly go out there and do the best that I could. But I can remember a number of games. I remember we were playing in Old Tiger Stadium, and I'm playing in right field, and I asked Jay, I said, because Jay had played there a number of times, and I said, you know, is there anything I should know about? He said, yeah, and this it's short porch to right, so just play right in front of the warning track. So if it's in the air, if it's going to be over your head, it's probably out of the ballpark. Otherwise, you can just come running in on anything. Well, it's raining. Wind is blowing. Just a miserable day. And it's cold out, and so I have one of those hand warmers.
Right.
Yeah, you know, you break it, and you put it in your hand, and I have it in my back pocket just to keep my throwing hand somewhat warm. So in between pitches, I'd put my hand in my back pocket to keep my fingers from going numb. And here comes this little flare, and I come running in, make a sliding catch on it, and I immediately pop up, and I'm jumping around. And people are looking at me like, well, it was a pretty good catch, Mike, but it wasn't that great a catch. Well, it happened. That thing exploded in the back of my pocket, and I didn't realize it. But that thing, you talk about hot, it is absolutely burned the back of my leg as I'm jumping around. Get the ball, and we still had to get one more out. And by the time I came in, Aaron, it basically turned the back of my game pants into a cast. That's how hard it would get back there after that.
Really?
So I come running in. Fortunately, I was able to change real quick, but I had a burn down the entire backside of my leg. And still had to go back out there and play again. But that was one where I was happy I wasn't leaning off because I needed a quick change after that one.
Well, I apologize for laughing so hard then.
That's okay. It was pretty funny. It was pretty funny. And I heard it from Jay, too. But, you know, you have those days. I remember as a rookie playing in Yankee Stadium in the old one, and it was raining again and the wind's blowing. And you're trying to fight all the elements, and you're uncomfortable. But on that ballpark, because the old fields, what they used to do is the drainage from the field, when you got into foul territory, everything drained downhill. And they had some foul territory towards the backstop, and here's a pop-up, and I come running in, and I'm going to overrun it, so I get ready to stop. And as soon as I stop, feet out from under me. My feet look like they're above my head, and I land right on my back, and the ball lands like 4 feet behind me as I'm just laying in water, and the rain's coming down, and the fans are just all over me because it's the home ballpark. But that was a lot of fun. But, you know, there's things in this game. And I'm watching Brad last night, the diving catch and the sliding catch, he didn't come up with either one of them. And I can tell you, when you're not used to playing out there, you feel that you failed, that you should have made mm-hmm. that play. And Brad made a couple of really nice running catches last night. But you just don't know. You haven't had enough reps out there. And we were playing here in this ballpark. I remember a game we were playing, and Ozzie Guillen, a longtime shortstop for the White Sox, was hitting. And I was playing normal depth in the outfield. And the coaches were moving around, but because I didn't have a lot of experience, they had me play a little bit deeper than normal. And he ends up dumping two little base hits in front of me. And this is after I had my knee surgery. I got a big knee brace on. It just looked terrible. I'm lumbering around.
RoboCop and
It was awful. You should see me. And I'm thinking the same thing. I'm like, man, you know, I should have caught that. So then they finally move me in when Ozzy comes up the next time. And, of course, he hits it over my head. So now I have to go chase and pick it up off the warning track and get it back in. But the best part about it is I got lucky, and I ended up hitting, I think it was a two-run home run in the game, which at the time gave us a one-run lead. And by the time I was in the dugout, Lou looks at me and he goes, Mike, I think you've had enough today. It was like the sixth inning, and I was happy.
You're thrilled.
I've had enough. Yeah, you're absolutely right, because the wind was blowing, the ball was going all over the place, so I really felt for Brad last night. It was a tough night for everybody, but, you know, the elements are something you just have to deal with. But then the length of the game, Aaron, yeah. makes it even tougher.
Well, to add just another storyline to last night, we saw John Hicks make his big league debut third base, and – I don't know. Tell us what you think, Mike. When there was that pop-up in the ninth inning, drifting to foul ground, the catch ended up being made barely in fair territory. Mm-hmm. Seager shuffled over to shortstop. Didn't you kind of think that Seager would say, "Hey, this is I'm gonna handle this one," a critical out of the ninth inning? But Seager's comments after the game were classic. He let Hicks make the catch, and he said, "Hey, he's a big leaguer. This is a pop fly. He can make that catch."
Well, I get the point, but I'm pretty sure that Lou wanted Kyle to call him off right there. And the hard thing about it is because John hasn't been in a big league ballpark, most pop-ups, especially if they're high ones, they're usually, when they start to come down, they're going to go back towards the field to play. And I don't know if it's because of the stadiums and the way the wind circles around in the stadiums, but that has always been the case. And so I'm watching John, as you and I are doing the telecast, I'm watching John, and he immediately starts to go over to the line, which – I watch him take two more steps, and now I know he's too far. He's going to have to come back. And I was worried that he was even going to get a glove on it. But then I saw Kyle coming over. I'm like, oh, Kyle's going to call it off. But then John immediately starts calling it, and he basically has to run back and make the catch. Now, fortunately, he makes the catch, and the Mariners win the game. But it's unsettling, to say the least. And for John Hicks, a guy that's a catcher, has never played third base. And all of a sudden, his major league debut is – get out there, and then all of a sudden, at the time, you're up five runs. What's the big deal? He has to play two innings. And all of a sudden, it's a one-run game.
Crunch time.
And he's out there. And we kept putting the camera on him, and I kept seeing him take these deep breaths in between pitches. And you know, but the one thing Kyle did do that I thought was really good last night is I saw him laughing a couple of times in between pitches, talking to John. And I'm sure it was just to keep him loose and not let him get too – tight. I mean, your expectations are zero at that point. Just hope he does the best that he can. But I like the fact that Kyle tried to take some of that pressure away from him.
And finally, Shannon Dreher sits down with Mariners pitching coach Rick Waits.
Catching up with pitching coach Rick Waits. And Rick, a lot going on with the pitching right now. Lloyd McClendon dropped on us yesterday that Felix will be skipped this next turn, that Taiwan will be skipped at some point. I think we saw this coming. It's a good way to freshen them up. And he said do the right thing with them. Obviously, innings are always a concern. But what does this do for both of them? I would imagine it's a little bit different with them.
Well, you know, I think that all starters who go, you know, 30 to 40 starts, if you want, or 30 to 36 starts in a year, need a break. Need a couple breaks during the course of the year. You never know quite when they're come. Sometimes you can just see it, and you'll miss a start just because guys maybe a little tight or a little tired or it's been hot. In the case of these two guys, they're both pitching great, but they still need a break. And we did it last year, and I think it really helped. And I think Felix had his best September ever in his career last year. So, you know, that's really important that he stays healthy and that he fishes strong.
Mike Montgomery down right now. Do you want him to pitch in AAA, or is it just a couple days?
Yeah, I think he can pitch down there. I know he's also at the end of his innings for the year.
Okay.
And some degree, he's never pitched this much before in his career. He has felt strong, and his arm is strong, so I think there's more pitching in there. So it's not a matter. I think it's something we just decide here in the next couple of days. We need to send him down yesterday. We needed another right-handed pitcher up here at the moment. So I think that, yes, I think he can pitch some more, but I think it's important that he doesn't get too many more innings because he's had the longest year he's probably had in his career.
Yeah, that the inning's definitely there, and a long season, too. You look at him, and it looks like you probably saw the full spectrum. What have you learned? What did you learn about him in the time that he was up?
Well, I think he's starting to learn about himself. You know, I think that the one thing that we both have come to know about, you know, his pitching is that he needs better fastball command. What's also great in his case is when he doesn't have it, he can still use his other pitches and get through the game and win. So, you know, he's kind of learned that he can pitch backwards or he can pitch offensively. And I think he needs to get better at that fastball command so that not all his games are when he needs to throw an off-speed pitch when he's behind. So I think he's learned a lot about himself. I think he's been real positive lately. He's really been positive with how he feels and how his arm has been. I think a lot of young guys understand it's not that big a deal on the innings if you take care of yourself.
You know, it's funny, you say fastball command, and it's always fastball command. Is that one of the easiest things or one of the toughest things?
I think that, you know, I think it should be one of the easiest things to do, but a lot of pitchers don't make it high priority. You know, I think, you know, when you watch young pitchers, especially in minor leagues, their tendency is to get ahead and throw off-speed pitches. Their tendency is to develop pitches. So when they're throwing in bullpens and when they're in the outfield playing catch, they're working on the curveball, slider, changeup, trying to get them better. You get to AAA, you get to this point, then really the only thing that really matters is that fastball command on four quadrants of the plate also, not just in and out, but up and down also. And the sooner that you can understand that and the sooner that you make it a high priority, the better off you'll be.
Get an opportunity to see a little bit more of Olmos today. What do you expect from him?
I expect what he's always been doing. He's just been pounding the zone since he came back from rehab, actually. And I expect that today. You know, everything's improved over the last few weeks, whether it was in AAA or here. You know, his curveball's improved, his changeup's improved, and it's just a matter of getting back in the groove. He hasn't got a lot of innings this year. But I know he's excited. I know he's got family in town. So it should be a fun day for this young man. But I expect him to pound the zone, throw a lot of strikes, and mix it up and win us a ball game.
Lastly, you just said Taiwan just threw a super bullpen. Give us a preview.
You know, he was 2-6, I think, at one time early in the year. He pitched not a few games early in the year. Weren't very good at all. He was really in the middle, wasn't attacking the hitters like he normally would. And the turnaround he's made has been tremendous, but not only in his game, but in his total work and his bullpens. He's really taken charge. He's really become a professional. And he's really grown up a lot, as we say. So, I mean, just watching his bullpen today, I didn't have to say a word. He went through his good routine, made pitches, and again, accented on fastball command.
What a great way to start a Sunday morning, right?
It sure is.
Rick, thank you.
Thank you.
See you later!